Today's show is one of the best of Point of View.
Across America, live, this is Point of View.
And now, Kirby Anderson.
Carmen Pei with me as well. And Carmen, today we're going to be talking about the issue of homosexuality, God's grace and the homosexual next door, reaching the heart of the gay men and women in your world. This is a book that I've been hearing quite a bit about. We're going to focus 2 hours of our broadcast today on this. We're also making it possible for you to link to Exodus International, get their material, also link there so that you can order the book. And you've also done an outstanding job of posting many of their articles, including the testimony of our guest on the website, so that if people want to get some more information, they can do so. And I'm looking forward to this program.
Oh, I am as well. I am excited to be talking about this issue today, because Kirby and I have so often talked to all of you in the audience that we have loved ones in our lives, and I have one that has passed on to be with the Lord as a result of AIDS. And so the homosexual lifestyle is one that has affected us personally, and we have hearts of love for these individuals who need to know about the truth and grace of God's love. So our guest today has written this wonderful book along with four of his staff members. It's called God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. Alan Chambers, he's one of the nation's leading speakers on gender issues and serves as president of Exodus International. Now, this is the largest evangelical organization dealing with this topic in the world today. His personal story is a teen and young adult who struggled with and overcame unwanted same-sex attraction has inspired thousands. Since its inception in 1976, Exodus has grown to include more than 130 professional mental health and church-based member agencies that offer help and hope to those affected by unwanted homosexuality. In 2005, Charisma Magazine named Alan Chambers among the top Christian leaders representing the future of the American church. And it is just an honor and pleasure to have you join us today, Alan.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate the good work that you're doing. And Carmen, we've just got lots of questions. I might just mention that we're going to open up the phones a little bit later so that you can share your story and ask questions of a man that certainly has a lot of expertise in this area.
Yes. And, you know, I find it interesting. Anytime you do an interview with an author of a book, usually the first question is, why did you write this book? And I found it interesting that your book opens with a word from the publishers. And that's rare. I don't normally see that in books that I read. And so talk to us about why Harvest House wanted you to publish this book.
Harvest House approached me about a year ago, and they really felt compelled to have something available for the church, which is why I wrote the book, because I love the church and I love the people who are involved in homosexuality. Being one of those people, I knew when I was very young that I needed help and I didn't have a place to go. The church didn't have an answer for me. And I live to do what I do on a daily basis so that the church becomes a place where people go for help, where they feel comfortable, where they feel like they're going to get compassion, love, and truth.
I've spoken at a couple of banquets where they've actually been involved in various ministries to homosexuals, and I'm amazed at how small those banquets are compared to, say, a banquet for a crisis pregnancy center or a banquet for a Young Life or various ministries or things like that. And I've concluded that oftentimes pastors within the church and even the leadership in the church, elders, deacons, and others, either don't want to have an outreach to homosexuals or, I think more appropriately, the second one, don't know how to. And actually, this book gives them some great guidelines and gives us as individuals a way in which to reach out to those loved ones that we know and those family members and co-workers and others who may actually be part of this lifestyle.
You know, it's really interesting that we talk so much about the issue of homosexuality, and we always talk about the truth side of it. Homosexuality isn't what God intended for us, and we're out there fighting the political battles and things like that. And yet when someone decides to come out of homosexuality or asks for help to come out of homosexuality, we don't celebrate that as much as we should. Mm-hmm. We don't highlight that as much as we should. And I think that tide in the church is changing, and certainly that's what this book advocates. We need to get behind people who are struggling and wanting to overcome this issue.
Carmen, I was just thinking that so often we talk about the need to really balance your biblical convictions with your biblical compassion. And I really want to pay you a compliment because you've worked very hard not only to have us address some of the political issues, and certainly the issue same-sex marriage and all of that has been very, very significant, but on a regular basis, you've been able to schedule a number of times in which we've talked about how we minister to homosexuals.
Well, I think it's so critical. And, you know, as you point out in the book, Alan, so much of the problem comes from miscommunication, misunderstanding the truth about the homosexual, about the individual. And I think it would be helpful for our listeners to talk about some of those key misconceptions, because I believe that at least one of those, if not more than one of those, will ring a bell with folks and they'll go, well, yeah, that's what I always thought. And it might work to break, or I know that it will work to break down some barriers that might keep us from loving and ministering to those caught up in this lifestyle.
Sure. Well, in the book, I talked about six myths, six common myths that are operating in our church today. And, you know, the number one thing is that this is the worst sin of all. We in the church like to build a hierarchy of sins, and we put homosexuality and others at the very top of that list when that's just not true. The ground at the foot of the cross was level. All of our sins are what sent Jesus to die there. And if there had never been the issue of homosexuality, he would have still had to come and bear our sins on that cross. And so we in the church have to understand that our sins are just as ugly as the sin of homosexuality. And Christ died for all of us, or he died for none of us. You know, another one of the myths that's out there is that this is a choice. And while there is choice involved in the issue, I didn't choose my gay feelings. I didn't wake up one morning and out of life's great big buffet choose to feel homosexual. Those things developed in my life for many, many reasons over a lot of years. And where the choice came in was that I did choose to act on my behavior, or I did choose to act on my feelings as an adult. And then I chose to leave homosexuality. Choice does play a factor in there, but it's when we say it's just a choice, that's not necessarily completely true.
One of the things I say oftentimes when I speak to seminary students or pastors is be careful with that word choice, because I have met individuals that have said, do you think I would choose what I am going through right now? Don't use that. Don't use it in a cavalier sense. But in a minute, it's going to, after we come back from the break, help us to understand that even though it isn't a choice, it also isn't genetic, because that's another one that you address in those six myths of homosexuality. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the ones that really would rattle people's cages. One that you've talked about, is it choice? But then also this idea that it's all about sex, that homosexuality is all about sex. And everybody go, well, of course it is. But you say that's one of the myths about this, and really it has to do with the problem with relationships. If you go out into secular media, one of the other myths that they talk about is that 10% of the population is homosexual. I cannot tell you the number of times I've been on college campuses where students will rattle those figures off,
sure.
And I say, no, it's only about 2 or 3%. And, I mean, you can just start a war with that right there. So we want to talk about where that comes from and some of the other myths. A little bit later, we're going to talk about some very effective strategies and even some ineffective strategies. He's got one chapter called Turn or Burn, Five Things Not to Do. So we're going to get into some of those as well. It is the book God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door, written by Alan Chambers. It is published by Harvest House. You can find it in your local bookstore, but you can also order it through us as well, pointofview.net. Click on the guest spotlight. You can find out some more about Exodus International, about the book, and about Alan Chambers. We'll come back and continue our discussion right after this.
Do you have $1 million idea and don't know what to do next? Hi, I'm Jerry Oak, CEO of Synergy Consultants, and we have the professional expertise to help you. Remember mood rings and iron-on decals? These are just a few of the $1 million ideas we have helped launch. Our clients include universities and Fortune 500 companies. Our services include patent searches, design engineering, marketing research, business plans, and venture capital sourcing. If your idea meets our criteria, we can help you find a manufacturer and sell your product. For a free consultation and our evaluation and absolute confidence, call me at 800-557-5555. We want to team up with you in launching your $1 million idea before someone else does. So call Synergy today at 800-557-5555. Or you can go to our website at 557-5555.info and click on the free evaluation link.
Not available in all states.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? J. Warren Financial can help you eliminate up to 60% of your credit card bills and change your life.
I used to get sick to my stomach every time the phone rang. Thanks to your protection, the bill collectors have stopped harassing me.
J. Warren Financial negotiates with your credit card companies to cut your credit card debt by thousands and take years off your payments.
My credit card companies were the same as loan sharks, charging me 30% interest. And there's no way I'd ever get ahead in life without meeting J. Warren.
Get ready for a toll-free number to receive your free, no-obligation debt relief consultation.
We were both working overtime just to pay the minimum on our credit cards. Now we're enjoying life again with our children.
Find out if you qualify for this exclusive relief program. Call now, 800-330-2926. At least $10,000 in credit card debt is needed. 800-330-2926. That's 800-330-2926. Not available in all states. 800-330-2926.
Over the last 30 years, Ellis Thayer from Kansas has tried building a home business 11 times. That's right, 11 times. But he never succeeded in any of them. Ellis feared that he was just not cut out to build his own business. Yet, he wouldn't give up. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3stepplan.com home business system. Ellis called the 3stepplan.com phone number and Ellie Jones from Missouri called him back. She explained the three simple steps of the 3-step plan. Then Ellie asked Ellis a very important question. She said, Ellis, do you think you could do this? And Ellis said, why yes, I think I can. And he did. Today, Ellis has a very successful home business. He earns a full-time income and has finally realized his dream of working from home. To find out how you could make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-879-5819. 800-879-5819.
You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Carmen Pate, I'm Kirby Anderson, talking with Alan Chambers about his book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. A little bit later, we'll open up the phones to give you a chance to join our discussion. Please visit our website, pointofview.net. You can find many articles from Exodus International, as well as more information about that ministry, about Alan Chambers, and also the book, which we're talking about today. Carmen?
Yes, Alan, one of the things that I think is probably a priority is for our audience to grasp the fact that myth number one, homosexuality is the worst of all sins. And I know you've written extensively throughout the book, and particularly your chapter on sinners in the hands of an angry church. Certainly, if an individual believes that homosexuality is worse than their own sin, then there's going to be that judgmental attitude, and they're building that barrier to communicate love and God's grace. And I appreciated what was said while quoting Proverbs 6:16-19, that you said actually levels the playing field of sin. And I love that because it talks about haughty eyes and a lying tongue and a false witness, stirring up dissension among brothers. All of those are hated by God, just as the sin of homosexuality was hated by God. And so, again, it goes back to that, the idea of trying to say your sin is worse than mine that keeps us from reaching out to any type of sinner. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's something that's so common in the church, where we try to really justify our own sin by looking at someone else's sin and saying, see, they're a little bit worse off than I am. And I did it even with my sin. Oh, well, at least I'm not doing this, or at least I haven't done this, just to try to make myself feel better, when the Lord really doesn't care what sin it is that we struggle with, because we all struggle with something and we're all in need of a Savior. And that it really does level the playing field quite a bit when you look through the list of abominations. And even in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, where that was the verse that I heard over and over again as a high school and middle school student, that homosexuals won't inherit the kingdom of God. But you look at that verse and there's so many other people that are listed there as well. And the truth is that we all need Jesus.
And jumping ahead to one of the things that one of your colleagues writes about later, this idea that you always should not make the assumption that an individual thinks they're sinful. We live in a society today, Alan, as you well know, where everybody sort of ranks themselves, and even you can run into people in prison who don't think they're sinful, people in prison who don't think they're really that bad a person. So given that kind of relativistic attitude that we have, when you're talking to an individual that has identified himself or herself as part of the homosexual lifestyle, don't just start out with the assumption that they even believe that they're sinful.
Right. Not everybody comes from the same biblical worldview that we do. In fact, even in today's youth, they say upwards of 96% of them don't have any idea or have any relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you can't really go into a conversation with someone expecting them to know that what they're doing is not what God intended. They don't have any concept of what God intended or what the Bible says about these types of things.
And it seems like it's a matter of importance to take them back to that the idea that of course sin is inherited from Adam, and that it's not about what we do as much as about who we are until we receive Christ. So I think if we put that, also puts us on that same playing field, if you will.
Right. And homosexuality, that's not what sends people to hell. What sends people to hell is that they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Heterosexuals go to hell too. And for those who are out there who are struggling with the issue of homosexuality, that's not the issue in and of itself that's going to determine your eternity. And for those of us who are trying to reach out and minister to someone, sometimes we need to just sidestep that issue altogether and realize they need a savior more than they need to come out of homosexuality.
Talking about some of the myths of homosexuality in your book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door, and we've talked about the idea that it's a myth to assume that it's a choice or that's the worst of all sins. But what about this one, that it's a myth to think that homosexuality is all about sex? That would strike, Alan, I think, a lot of people as being sort of a wrong-headed idea until you read your section. Explain what you're saying.
Well, sex is right in the middle of the word, but it really has little to do with sex. Sex is just really the means to an end. And for me and for the people who have struggled with the issue of homosexuality, we're coming into that struggle with a lot of unmet needs, a lot of things that we just feel broken. And when I was struggling with the issue of homosexuality and looking for companionship or relationship, it had nothing to do with sex as much as it did. I just needed affirmation. I just needed love. I was looking for acceptance. I wanted someone to just tell me I was good enough. And so that's really what I was looking for. That's what the people who are struggling with homosexuality are actually dealing with. It's an illegitimate way to meet legitimate needs. That's what the sex aspect is.
You know, Alan, you one of the myths is homosexuality is a choice. And as you've pointed out earlier, certainly that's not something you would choose. We also are saying, you know, it is not genetic. So I think it begs the question, then how does one become homosexual? And you mentioned several different things that contribute, several factors that contribute under that section. If you could go in depth about that.
Homosexuality is multi-causal, and I think we in the church try to simplify it. The world tries to simplify it. The world tries to say it's genetic and that's what makes someone gay. We in the church at times have said it's just a demon, and if you cast out the demon, then you're free of homosexuality. And I just think that it's too complex to try to find one answer. We are genetically fallen, we're physically fallen, we're psychologically fallen, we're emotionally fallen creatures. So we're going to struggle with all sorts of things. And though I never think that they're going to come up with one conclusive gene that forces us to be gay, that's not possible. You know, there might be some biological components or some hormonal imbalances that contribute to these things. But the fact is that it's something that is bigger than me. It's bigger than I understand. It's bigger than I'll ever understand. I struggled with the issue. And any kind of information that we come up with, whether it's from science or from the spiritual aspect of this, is helpful information for us who have come out of homosexuality or who are trying to do that.
I wonder if you've noticed something that we've talked about on the program before, and that is if you looked at the early 1990s, you just had this rash of attempts to try to prove that it was genetic. Simon LeVay, Bailey and Pollard, Dean Hamner, many of the people that were trying to do so. My experience now, especially on the college campus, is that that most of the people that identify themselves as gay activists don't even tend to use the genetic model. They tend to use the choice model, and especially among lesbians on college campus, there's almost this idea that, well, I'll choose to be homosexual now, but then later I'll get married and choose to be heterosexual. So it almost seems like the pendulum swung almost the other way into now even people that are in the movement are mostly talking about a choice kind of model.
Really, and it's so interesting to hear them use really our language over the years that we've come up with. And you know what it is, and I'm glad to know that they are talking about the issue of choice and that this is a personal choice. You choose your behavior based on the feelings that you have. And you know, one of the things that came out a few years ago was Dean Hamer, actually, who did one of the studies back in the early 90s that you mentioned, said he found that homosexuality wasn't genetically predisposed, right, and that in fact, he found more developmental factors as a causation, which is it's great news. And I think what those studies really served to do was to give the media a little bit of ability to come and bring that into the public consciousness that this is genetic, people can't change it. And so there's a lot of people out there operating under these myths because the media really promoted it and has run with it.
Mm. Talking today about homosexuality, Alan Chambers with us as we talk about his books, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door, Reaching the Heart of the Gay Men and Women in Your World. It's a book that we recommend. It's a book that we've made available to you. Actually, you can go to the website and click through and find out a little bit more about Exodus International or about Alan Chambers or about his book. Just click on the picture of the book and you can order it if you'd like to do so. We've also posted some great articles from Exodus International, and those all are available on our website, Point of View.net. We come back, we'll begin to take some of your phone calls, 800-351-1212, to give you a chance to join our discussion. But most importantly, we do these programs every single day because we are convinced that you need this vital information.
It was a blessed week of renewal at Point of View Radio Talk Show, and we thank you for your gift.
After realizing just what a blessing and a resource Point of View is to me on a daily basis, I've decided to become a Frontline Alliance partner for $1 a day. It's drafted from my bank account every month, which is so convenient for me. I mean, I'll never even miss it. And it's the least I could do to ensure this important ministry continues.
I am so glad you gave.
Your gift to Point of View was so appreciated, but the need is greater than ever to ensure that Point of View continues for future generations and that we remain on this radio station. We greatly need to hear from you. Here's how you can be a valued partner with Point of View's Frontline Alliance.
800-347-5151. That's 800-347-5151. And simply say, I want to partner with Point of View because I appreciate the information they bring to me each and every day to help me make a difference in my home and in my community. You can also go online, pointofview.net, and click on Frontline Alliance, and it'll also tell you how you can partner with us today. We do hope that you'll stay with us when we come back. We're going to continue our discussion with Alan Chambers, president of Exodus International, talking about God's grace and the homosexual next door.
You are listening to Point of View. For materials offered during the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas 75221, zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. Point of View will continue after this.
If you have an idea and need help protecting, marketing, and getting that idea to industry, call Synergy Consultants. We will give you a free invention kit that will help you understand how to protect and commercialize your idea so you can profit from it. Call for your free inventor's kit today, 800-557-5555. The inventor's kit is free and there is no obligation. 800-557-5555. Call now, 800-557-5555.
Not available in all states.
You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. And now, here again, is Kirby Anderson.
Homosexuality, our topic today, as we talk about God's grace and the homosexual next door. Carmen Pate with me and the author of this book, Alan Chambers. And if you'd like to join us, 1-800-351-1212. We expect quite a number of phone calls. So if you call and you get a busy signal, just call back a little bit later. If you call and it rings, just allow it to ring till we answer that phone and we'll get to you as we go along. Carmen?
Yes, Alan, I know oftentimes I have heard individuals say, and probably have been guilty of it myself, in saying, well, if he just finds this young woman that'll just sweep him off his feet, he'll be fine. Or we would say the same thing about a young woman caught in the lesbian lifestyle. Well, if she just finds the right man and dates and gets married, everything's going to be fine. But you're saying that's a myth as well.
It is. You know, the opposite of homosexuality isn't heterosexuality. Contrary to popular belief, it's holiness. And when we come out of homosexuality, there are a lot of men and women who won't find what I found in heterosexual marriage. They won't. Some even desire that, but that doesn't mean that they haven't found freedom and that they can't live a life apart from the identity of homosexuality. And I think oftentimes we're very well-meaning when we try to set someone up or hope that they'll find a heterosexual relationship. And if that's what God wants, wonderful. But it's not always going to be the case. And if someone gets involved in a relationship prior to finding the kind of healing that they need to find, walking through the issues that need to be dealt with in their life, it really only sets them up for a fall rather than helping them to propel into a deeper walk with the Lord or into heterosexuality itself.
That kind of brings us to one of the chapters in the book. And I might mention that even though your name's on the front, a number of your colleagues have written different chapters, but I assume that you can speak to things that even you didn't write on. And one is change possible? You can really start an argument in the talk show world right now by talking about the word cure, because I remember John Stossel's latest book says, you know, that this idea of there being a cure to homosexuality is a fallacious idea. And we've talked with almost all of our guests about that idea. So I think it is important to maybe make a distinction between cure and change. But one of the things that we've even posted on our website here is my journey from September 1991, your testimony, which if people want to read that, they can do so. And it's just an outstanding story of your own life. But can you speak to this issue then, if indeed marriage and dating are not the way to fix homosexuality, how do you bring about change? What has been successful in that regard?
Well, you know, the issue of change is this, that it's not just a change in feelings or a change in behaviors. It's a change in identity. And that's true for all of us who struggle with any sin.
Right.
And for those of us who are walking out of homosexuality, I think we get hung up on the idea that God's going to absolutely strike all of the feelings we've ever had, reorient us into heterosexuality immediately, and we're going to lead a quote-unquote normal life. And that's not necessarily the truth. But the truth is that we can find a new identity in Christ, and it starts just with that relationship with Him and pursuing it, pursuing obedience above anything else, pursuing holiness above anything else. And as we walk along that road towards Him, towards freedom from whatever sin we struggle with, we do find a new identity. The issue of cure, there is no cure, in my opinion, for sin in this life. There's a cure for the result or the consequences of sin, and that's a relationship with Christ. He took our sins upon Himself. But change is possible. And it's a long road, and it's different really for everyone. But at the end of the day, what is common for those of us who have found freedom from homosexuality is that our identity is completely separate. It's completely different than what it used to be.
You know, change is possible for all of us through Christ. And yet what comes along with that, I believe, is Christ wanting us to come alongside those who have left a lifestyle, whether it be drugs or pornography or adulterous relationships or homosexuality, to come alongside them, to disciple them, to encourage them, to mentor them, to help them to grow in their knowledge of Christ. And that, over time, transforms a lot of their behavior. And you've pointed out a lot of people expect a quick fix, and that, well, if you've accepted Christ, then immediately you need to be changed. And this is true for whatever lifestyle we have left. And I think that's where a lot of people get left behind, Alan, because it takes a lifetime for some of us to become even acceptable in the eyes of the world.
Deliverance is a process. And, you know, we take that verse, those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And we hijack that verse to mean once you come to Jesus, it's all better and you don't struggle anymore. And if you do, there's something wrong with you. I think we in the church, we've got to get past the fact that we think that sin isn't going to tempt us. Certainly we can find amazing freedom from it. I'm not tempted by the same things that I once was tempted by, but I'm kidding myself to think that I could never be tempted again.
Yes.
And the minute that I say that I can't be tempted again by this or by anything else is the minute I'm going to be tempted by it, and I'm going to be too afraid to tell someone. And so we in the church, we've got to get to the place where we are accountable, where we are understanding that we can be tempted by anything that's been common to us and then some.
So one of the things I think is important is to recognize that sexual sins are what I might call besetting sins. Carmen, you know we've done a Renewing America of Mind series on pornography. We've done that on homosexuality and others. And there's a commonality here.
Yes.
There are various sins that you sort of do outside the body, but those that you do with your body, as Jesus talks about in the scriptures, really seem to be much more difficult to break. Is that what you find, Alan?
I find that very often. And you know, the issue with sexual sin is it's a relational sin, and it has a relational root. We were created to be in relationship, number one, with our God, with our Creator. That was broken in the fall. And we've been struggling with relationships ever since. We are in constant conflict with our relationship with God, in constant conflict with our relationship with others. And we substitute the counterfeit for intimacy, true intimacy, in sexuality. And that's something that takes a hold of us like nothing else, because it is relational in its core.
Well, I've also found that the church does not oftentimes know what to do with an individual who has accepted Christ but has come out of a lifestyle of homosexuality, or out of a lifestyle of adultery. Oftentimes the church has trouble dealing with a divorcee, for example. And you've pointed out in your book that, again, I go back to this chapter, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry Church. An example of someone who accepted Christ because of I think it was a television show that they had watched, and they followed through and went to see the pastor afterwards, but was not accepted by the pastor because he was still being labeled in his old identity. So the church has, the pastors and the leadership have a lesson to learn here as well.
They do, and the fact is that we need to make our churches open and welcoming for everyone. My friend Joe Dallas, who I'm sure has been on this program,
yes,
often says he wishes the church could be more like a bar. The bar that he used to wait tables in and tend, where people would come in every single day, they'd turn around the corner and they'd see the same regulars sitting there, and they'd say, oh, thank God, it's just you people. Here of all places, I can be myself. I can be who I am. That's what the church needs to be. How wonderful would it be to swing open the doors of the church on any Sunday morning or Wednesday evening and say, oh, thank God it's just you people. Of all places, I can be myself.
Not compromising on truth, but loving with the grace of God, because certainly that's where they need to be, learning the truths of God's word and learning about his grace. Let's go to Sherry in Ohio. Sherry, you're on Point of View.
Yes, ma'am. I was calling because my daughter, she lives the alternate, as I call, lifestyle. But I have other people that get on to me because I don't believe in that lifestyle, believe what the Bible says on it, but she's my daughter. I'm not kicking her out because she actually lives with me. And she doesn't like it because when she gets in my car, I have it on my radio, and then she's throws on earphones of, I don't want to hear this, because she grew up in a church. Mm. She was about 12 years old when she came to me and asked me, Mom, do you think I could be gay? And I was like, no, because she was 12. That was the farthest thing from my mind. But she grew up to be that way. She has a daughter that basically lives with us, because when she became pregnant, she was like, my lifestyle, children shouldn't be in it. She was going to give the child up for adoption, and then me and her dad were like, no, we can take the child, we can raise the child, because eventually you'll grow up, because she was like 18 when this happened.
Wow.
Mm. So I have conflict from both sides, because like I said, I'm not going to kick my daughter out because of her lifestyle. But she got very upset at me because I signed the petition here in Ohio concerning the gay marriages. I was against it, and she got very upset at me. And I'm like, look, this is what I've always believed.
Good for you.
Yeah, the tension's there. Yeah. We need to take a break. Sherry, let me keep you on there, and I'd love to hear from Alan after the break on some of his perspective. I love the fact that one of your colleagues, Melissa, has written a chapter about ministry to lesbian women. So, and it's really one of the most significant sections there because there's not much written on that. So I want to come back and, of course, commend some of the material we have there for you, Sherry, but also we'll get some comments from Alan right after these messages.
Back to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Carmen Pate, I'm Kirby Anderson, talking with Alan Chambers about his book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. It's published by Harvest House, but we also are making it available to you through Point of View if you'd like to get on our website, pointofview.net. Posted quite a number of articles from Exodus International I think you'll find helpful. And Alan, we were talking with Sherry, who I think has a good balance. On the one hand, not compromising her belief that marriage should be between a man and a woman. On the other hand, not disenfranchising or cutting off a relationship with her daughter.
Sherry, and I think that you're doing a fantastic job. The thing is, for parents, your job is to love your kids, to love your daughter where she's at. And I think that will speak volumes to her, for her to know that she has a place to live, that she has a relationship with you, that you love her no matter what. That's what can change people's lives, when they know that no matter what, the person who believes the truth loves them too. And I think what you're doing is great. You're walking a fine line, but you're walking the balance of truth and love.
You've got a chapter there that deals with ministry to lesbian women, and that's very helpful because, as you well know, not as much has been written about the female side. The male homosexuals, lots has been written there, but I really appreciate the fact that you have an entire chapter there as well.
Yeah, it's so important, and we knew that we had to have Melissa write this chapter for the book so that people who were trying to deal with this issue, because male and female issues are just different, and there's so much out there for men, but there's not as much out there for women, and how to relate with women and how to minister to them. You know, one of the things for Sherry, too, there's a great online group that we have for parents, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. And you can just email us at Exodus, and we'll sign you up for the parents list.
Great. Lots of phone calls here. Carmen, let's take another one.
Let's do. Let's go to Texas now and talk to Peter. Hello, Peter. You're on Point of View.
Yes, how you doing today?
Good.
First of all, I just thank y'all for y'all's show. I've been previously listening now for maybe about 3 months, but I've been a Christian over, I say, around 8 years now since I've been incarcerated. And this is part of my testimony. It's kind of hard for me, but I'm a registered sex offender. And but God has changed my life, and I have been reconciled back to my family. And I kind of blame myself for a lot of things, especially my children had all turned to a homosexuality lifestyle. But in during the prison time, I used my time wisely to learn, to understand how can I go from bad behavior or sexual behaviors I had, or having affairs with older women, to having a sex relationship with children. And I come to find out that what I learned through in prison was a lot of it had to do with a behavior cycle that we adjust to because of issues in our past life. And my question is, do you think that or believe that homosexual is a behavioral cycle that began because of unresolved issues in their lives, that something triggered the event and they don't know and they are adjusted to it by practicing a routine that is one of several ways?
Okay, Peter's got some good questions there about, you know, just even the downward cycle, if you will, that sometimes takes place.
Yeah, I definitely think that it is something that develops in someone's life because of unmet needs, because of things that are absent in their life, needs that don't get met, and those things can happen in a myriad of ways, from family relationships to peer relationships to outside instances like sexual abuse and things like that. So those are contributing factors to someone's struggle with homosexuality or sexual issues in general.
I might just mention, Carmen, that one of the resources we've been trying to make available to various people is our Renewing America's Mind series, and the one on homosexuality allows an individual in a fairly short period of time, because we have a CD and then we have a DVD, but you can watch the DVD and get some of the information from Dr. Nicolosi, in which you can maybe find out what has happened in your own child. You can hear from the people that we've already mentioned, people like Joe Dallas and others that have talked about this issue. You can hear on the issue of lesbianism from Ann Hawk and Sue Bolin and others. So we've tried to put some of those resources together here at Point of View, and if that would be helpful to any of our listeners, I would encourage you to go to our bookstore and, of course, certainly go to the guest spotlight today. You will see that that will have the information about Alan Chambers. If you click on his name, it will show you his bio. If you click on any of the articles, that will take you to Exodus International. If you click on the book, it will give you a chance to order the book. I think it's about a 10% discount, or, of course, you can find it in your local bookstore as well. So we're trying to put some resources in your hand.
Yes.
As Peter has been trying to figure out in his life, how did I end up where I was? And you may not be in that same situation, but all of us are trying to understand the journey that we're on. And if we can put resources in your hand to help you understand those, we are certainly ready, willing, and able to do so.
And, you know, if we could go back to the comments that the mother made earlier, because one of the things that I have struggled with, Alan, is the fact that if we condone the lifestyle, particularly, for example, I was looking at a CitizenLink article from some time ago where an Episcopal leader said homosexuality is not a sin. It seems they are doing more damage to the individual, because if someone says you're normal, you're healthy, as a matter of fact, we just need to legitimize your lifestyle in society, well, then there's no need for me to go and get help. There's no need for me to need a savior. There's no need for me to go to church if everything is okay with me. Do you see that as a problem as well?
Definitely. I think what we're seeing in the churches that are really caving in on this issue and offering what I call sloppy agape. You know, they are stumbling blocks. And where we saw the churches in the 70s and 80s maybe erring on the side of truth too much, beating people over the head with the truth, we're seeing today people really condone sin. And the end result for both of those things is that we're sending people to hell. We are a stumbling block for them finding the truth about grace from Jesus Christ. And we've got to be very careful with that. The Bible talks a lot about leadership and being stumbling blocks, and we need to be very careful.
Just before we get back to some phone calls, and certainly we will carry those on in the second hour, I wanted you to talk for just a minute about some of the great resources you have there at Exodus International. When people go to our website and click on it, or if they just go directly to your website, what will they find that will be helpful to them in their own lives, in their church, and even in their outreach?
Exodus has the largest collection of resources and links on the topic of homosexuality anywhere. We link with the scientific, the research of NARTH, the National Association for the Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. You can find books, conferences that Exodus puts on, as well as our partners and partnership with Focus on the Family's Love One Out conference. You name it, you're going to find every type of resource or informational material on the topic of homosexuality. Testimonies, the good news from parents, from women who've struggled, from men who've struggled, from youth, pastors, spouses, you name it, and it's all there.
So again, almost one-stop shopping, Carmen. If you are looking for information about this issue of homosexuality, those of you that are maybe even doing papers or debates or speeches or things like that, you can find information if you just want to know about it in an objective way. But certainly for those of you that have been affected either directly or indirectly, I commend to you the work that is being done at Exodus International. And that's one of the reasons we have today Alan Chambers and his leadership team, who have put together the book God's Grace and the Homosexual Neighbor, Homosexual Next Door, and Reaching to the Heart of the gay and men and women in your world. And it's just a resource that we hope that we can put in the hands of many people, Carmen.
Yes, certainly hope that you'll take advantage of all of those resources and begin using them, because we all have a neighbor, a loved one, a friend, an acquaintance that needs the truth, and they need it with grace and they need it with love.
You can find that at pointofview.net. And again, a lot of great articles there. And Carmen, we're encouraging people as they go to those articles that you've posted also to consider how they might partner with us at Frontline Alliance.
Yes, you know, each and every day we try to bring programs to you that perhaps you're not getting in the mainstream media, or maybe you're getting a different twist on it. We try to bring you truth with from a biblical perspective. We bring you truth from well-researched documents. We try to bring resources with our programs, along with the experts that we bring to the table. We are your listener-supported source for truth. We depend on you to help us in continuing to bring these programs to you each and every day. So you can partner with us for only a dollar a day. The number is 800-347-5151. That's 800-347-5151. Or you can go to our website at pointofview.net. Click on Frontline Alliance, and there you'll learn how you can partner with us, many benefits that we make available to those who do partner with us. And let me just say thanks to all of those of you who have already partnered, but it's not late, too late for those who've not yet done so. So prayerfully consider what you can do, and we'll appreciate whatever donation that you can make.
And if you'd like to write to us, Post Office Box 30, Dallas, Texas 75221. But as Carmen pointed out, we'd love to hear from you. The order line, 800-347-5151. Of course, you can go to the website, pointofview.net. When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls as we talk with Alan Chambers about his book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door.
Across the nation, this is Point of View. For materials offered during the broadcast, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas 75221. Zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. Point of View will continue after this.
Point of View is produced by the National Center for Freedom and Renewal and is supported by your tax-deductible contributions.
Hi, I'm Benny Carter, Vice President of Synergy Consultants, and we are searching the country for individuals and companies we can partner with that have new marketable ideas, inventions, or technology. If you have a million-dollar idea, we can help you take it from concept to the international marketplace. We'll evaluate your concept in strict confidence and at no charge, and give you our honest opinion on its value. We can provide you with the resources you need to design, protect, and license your invention or technology. Synergy Consultants also specializes in market research, business planning, and venture capital sourcing. If you have an inspired idea, I urge you to call 800-557-5555 for a free evaluation or consultation. We have the expertise you need to protect and market your invention. Call me now at 800-557-5555 or go to our website at www.557-5555.info and click on the free evaluation link. And let's get started on protecting and marketing your million-dollar invention.
Not available in all states.
If you have an idea and need help protecting, marketing, and getting that idea to industry, call Synergy Consultants. We will give you a free invention kit that will help you understand how to protect and commercialize your idea so you can profit from it. Call for your free inventor's kit today, 800-557-5555. The inventor's kit is free and there is no obligation. 800-557-5555. Call now, 800-557-5555.
Not available in all states.
The IRS put a lien on my house, garnished my wages, and levied my bank account. My attorney referred me to Associated Tax Relief. Calling them was the best move I ever made. They got us a settlement we can live with.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Associated Tax Relief can help you. Associated Tax Relief has helped taxpayers settle their tax debt with the IRS for mere pennies on the dollar.
Call Associated Tax Relief toll-free for a free consultation. 888-209-5457. That's 888-209-5457.
Today's show is one of the best of Point of View.
Across America, live, this is Point of View.
hour today as we talk with Alan Chambers about his book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. Carmen Pate with me as well, and we welcome your phone calls, 1-800-351-1212. And lots of people wanting to talk with Alan today.
Full bank of calls. Let's go out to Ohio and talk to Daniel. Hello, Daniel. You're on Point of View.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, ma'am. I am 23, and I am gay. I live in Ohio, and I'm wondering about different things. Like, there's especially, like, one in particular is called whosoever.org. It's where they present all the biblical things that people use to discredit homosexuals and this and that, and they show why it is unclear. Like the Greek and Hebrew, how words are misconstrued and this and that there's really not a strong enough argument to support the argument that homosexuality is wrong.
Okay, let's start in Genesis. Genesis 19, the sin of Sodom. I've heard that some kind of pro-gay activists have said that the sin of Sodom was really the sin of inhospitality, that when it says in the King James Version that they wanted to know those individuals, they really just wanted to shake hands with them. But I think the better translations really say that they wanted to have sex with them. But Alan, what would you say to a verse like that?
Well, I would say the very same thing. It's clear that they wanted to have sex with them. They didn't want to just shake their hands. Lot wouldn't have offered his daughters to shake their hands. That's not what they were getting at. They wanted to clearly have sex with these men. And it's very clear in the Bible. There's a lot of the gay churches out there, the revisionist theologists who want to change really what the Bible says when it's very clear. You go back to the original language. There's a great book, A Strong Delusion by Joe Dallas, that really goes through every single argument that deals with what the Bible says about this, what the original language said, what Paul meant when he used the word arsenicoite to describe homosexuality. You know, it's very clear what the Bible says, that homosexuality isn't what God intended for us. And no matter how we try to change or misconstrue relationships between people in the Bible or try to change the text, it's clear homosexuality wasn't what God intended for his creation.
What about Romans 1? The passage there, is that speaking about homosexuality, or as some of the people from various gay churches, the Metropolitan Church or Soul Force, have argued that, no, that's just homosexual promiscuity? How would you respond to that?
Well, you know, I've heard them talk about that, and I've heard them talk about the in Corinthians, the passage there about homosexuality, that it's just the sin is that people who aren't homosexual committing homosexual acts. When if homosexuality itself is not a sin, then it doesn't matter whether someone's heterosexual or homosexual that commits it. The issue is that homosexuality is a sin. It's not just the behavior. It's the identity in and of itself. I think Paul was clear about that in Corinthians in the original text, where you can see that it's both passive and aggressive. It's not just sex. It's just accepting the identity. So we have to look at the passages from the original language and understand that homosexuality is a sin no matter how you slice it.
Daniel, you're talking about one of the websites you went to. Maybe there could be a conversation that you could have with Alan or one of the staff at Exodus. Can you give the Exodus website?
Exodus.to or ExodusNorthAmerica.com, if that's easier to remember.
Okay.
I just have one last thing.
Sure.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Not only have I been in church all my life, save for the last 2.5 years, I was the youth pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the everything. And for about 6 years, people that loved me and people that studied deliverance ministries and this and that, I put myself into that. I gave myself wholeheartedly to the mission to just ask God, if this is to be changed, please change this. And I can honestly say, after all of that, it's not changed. The desire is not gone. I wonder, is it just cruelty that I would ask something of God that I really do desire, not just so I cannot be gay, but so that I can serve him and do his will? I mean, that was the point of it, and nothing changed. And I still have no answer to that. I almost would seem, if God wants it to change, then just like he blinded Paul, you know, he'll have to just do something drastic, because I really did. I put my heart into it.
Mm. Alan?
Daniel, you know, I have been there. I have I prayed for years and years and years and years that God would take away my homosexual feelings, my temptations, my sin appetite. And you know, what I found was that it's not always that those things are going to go away immediately. They may never go away, but that doesn't mean that what God says about the issue of homosexuality isn't true, that it isn't a sin, and that we shouldn't abstain from it or be obedient to what His Word says. You know, there's a lot of people out there who still struggle with temptations, whether that's homosexual or heterosexual, or the alcoholic who struggles with wanting to take a drink, or the liar struggling with wanting to tell another lie. And in John 16:33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world so that in me you can have peace." That scripture was read to me very early on in my process out of homosexuality. And what that scripture really means to me is that there's no guarantee that we're going to find a life of that's struggle-free. We're not guaranteed to have smooth sailing. But what we can have is peace in Christ. And for me, I tried living homosexually. I tried being in relationships. I tried getting involved in the gay community. And at the end of the day, what I found was I wasn't any more full than I was when I went into it. In fact, I was a whole lot emptier. And I found that pursuing obedience and submitting my will to the will of the Lord was the best alternative for me. It was more than enough, more than sufficient. And I found that obedience would never hurt me like disobedience always did.
Daniel, I just encourage you to, and I encourage our listening audience to pray for you, because I can hear your hurt and your pain, and the Lord is the one who certainly can heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free, and I just pray that you will abide in His truth and allow the Holy Spirit to really begin to transform you as the Lord would have Him do.
All I know is I'm not a rebellious person, but if any changes to ever happen, I will tell you that it will have to be God alone, because I've come to a point I can no longer trust man.
Did you know that that's the case for all of us? It's only by God alone that I am not who I used to be, and I hear that same message from Alan. It's only by God alone, and it's only by the Holy Spirit's empowerment that we can live each day abiding in Christ, because the world, our flesh, Satan would all like to pull us back into those temptations. But I just encourage you to stand strong. And thanks for being so vulnerable. Thanks for sharing with us.
Is there ever just maybe a hope for the Christian community in this nation and worldwide just to take notice and to look at a homosexual and know that the very most important first thing is that they love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength before they're ever able to step away from something like this, because it's so often made the point that you're gay and this is what we need to fix, other than making it, you know, to love your God?
We'll come back and answer that right after this.
MediShare is a community of like-minded people and families sharing in each other's medical expenses.
As Christians, we come together and take care of one another's medical needs.
We basically covenant to say we are going to share one another's needs, which is really a biblical principle.
More than 50,000 Christians want to help pay your medical bills. That's what MediShare members do. Share each other's burdens.
So when I see that I can save, that becomes a stewardship issue. I believe I'm being a smarter Christian by using MediShare.
It's all in the name, if you think of it. It's Christian medical sharing. Hello, that's what it is.
MediShare is the biblical solution to rising health costs. To learn how you can become part of the largest Christian health sharing program in the country, call 1-800-PSALM-23, 1-800-PSALM-23. Or visit meta-share.org. That's MEDI-share.org.
Do you have a $1 million idea and don't know what to do next? Hi, I'm Jerry Oak, CEO of Synergy Consultants, and we have the professional expertise to help you. Remember mood rings and iron-on decals? These are just a few of the $1 million ideas we have helped launch. Our clients include universities and Fortune 500 companies. Our services include patent searches, design engineering, marketing research, business plans, and venture capital sourcing. If your idea meets our criteria, we can help you find a manufacturer and sell your product. For a free consultation and our evaluation and absolute confidence, call me at 800-557-5555. We want to team up with you in launching your million-dollar idea before someone else does. So call Synergy today at 800-557-5555. Or you can go to our website at 557-5555.info and click on the free evaluation link.
Not available in all states.
Over the last 30 years, Ellis Thayer from Kansas has tried building a home business 11 times. That's right, 11 times. But he never succeeded in any of them. Ellis feared that he was just not cut out to build his own business. Yet, he wouldn't give up. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3stepplan.com home business system. Ellis called the 3stepplan.com phone number and Ellie Jones from Missouri called him back. She explained the three simple steps of the 3-step plan. Then Ellie asked Ellis a very important question. She said, "Ellis, do you think you could do this?" And Ellis said, "Why, yes, I think I can." And he did. Today, Ellis has a very successful home business. He earns a full-time income and has finally realized his dream of working from home. To find out how you could make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-879-5819. 800-879-5819.
You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Back once again as we talk with Alan Chambers, Harmon Pate, I'm Kirby Anderson. A minute ago we mentioned Joe Dallas's book, A Strong Delusion. That book has now been updated and is going to be released this month, October 2006, under a new title, The Gay Gospel, How Pro-Gay Advocates Misread the Bible. So if you look for the old book, it's still available. I just noticed that you can get used copies out on the website. But if you're looking for the new book that is just coming out, Carmen, it's called The Gay Gospel, How Pro-Gay Advocates Misread the Bible. Just so if people were looking for some of the material that we mentioned just a minute ago, they can find it.
That would be a great tool for you. Daniel, I believe you're still with us.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes. And Alan, I would love to hear your response to Daniel because he's right. I mean, again, it goes back to what we've been discussing, the fact that, God hates all sin and we need to love God first. And then his second commandment is to love others as ourselves. And so there certainly is a need for love from the church in this situation.
Absolutely. And I think that the church has been guilty of not loving people the way that they should. Sometimes we think that we have to beat people over the head with the truth and with scripture in order to see a positive result. And that's just not true. Oftentimes, we don't have to tell them or beat them over the head at all. All we have to do is put our arms around them and say, you know what? I understand what you're going through. Maybe not the specific issue, but I understand because I've been through something myself. And we've got to be vulnerable. We've got to be transparent with where we've been if we're going to reach out and be effective in reaching out to those who struggle with this issue. And Daniel, what I would say to you is we'd love to connect you with someone in your area that you could talk with. Certainly people are fallible, but there's a lot of people out there who have been where you are and would love nothing better than to just have a conversation with you and make you aware of the fact that you're not alone.
I guess the most important thing before I go, I don't know what my future holds in any of this. I know it is more important to me than anything else that the God that I know and love is who other people come to know and love. And I see the constant battle between Christians and homosexuals, and it creates such a wall. And I don't know if these feelings are ever going to go away from me, but I know that I want the gay community to know the love of Jesus Christ like I do. And I don't know if I'll ever think differently about the scriptures. I don't know. I just know that there's nothing more important than what God has done in my life, and I want to communicate it some way, somehow, someday. I want to make that the core thing. I don't know how to tell people to get over your gay stuff and then, love God. It seems backwards.
It is backwards.
It is backwards. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get rid of your sin before you commit to the Lord, because the thing is that the only thing that makes us qualified is that we are completely unqualified. to come into a relationship with him, and he loves us just the way we are. And it's that basis, that foundation, that really builds on freedom.
Okay. I don't want to take up more of your time. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, yes. Thank you for calling. And I hope you'll take advantage of the resources made available by Exodus International, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Yvette in Missouri. Hello, Yvette. You're on Point of View.
Hi. My question initially was about how to respond to a homosexual who insists that they were born that way, which I considered one of the myths from a homosexual standpoint. But after listening to Daniel, my heart just breaks for him, because I just want to encourage him to understand that God is love, and he loves every last one of us. However, we've got to give up that thing that keeps us from getting to him, even though he was in Sunday school and a youth pastor or whatever it was he said, a youth counselor maybe, or whatever it is he's involved in. He thinks that's his way to God, but that's part of it. But we have to give up that thing that still blemishes us before God. My sin isn't homosexuality, but I'll tell you, I cry about that thing in me that breaks me every day, or every time I give in to it anyway. And I want Daniel to be encouraged to know that, just like Dr. Allen said, there's people out here who want to help you with that very thing, because they were delivered from it. And I know there's somebody out there to help me with my anger, with my guilt, with these things that I was not born with. I developed into all of this stuff. But I've been saved for 10 years, and I'm still hurting, and I'm still trying to be better. But I'm trying to get with God, and I can't get there if I want to hold on to that thing that he's telling me to let go of. I don't want to hold on to it, and I feel in Daniel's heart that he doesn't want to hold on to it. He doesn't know how to let go of it.
Yes.
Well, Alan, let me get some perspective from you, because one of the things that you were suggesting is the need to maybe come and have a relationship, a conversation with an individual. And that is what is, I think, so exciting about these Exodus ministries all over the country, that really do provide an opportunity for you to interact with someone who oftentimes has walked the same path with you, and can, you know, figuratively and even literally hold your hand to help you get through with some of the things that you're dealing with.
Right. As of this week, we have 150 ministries all
wow.
across North America.
Wonderful.
The majority of them in the United States. There's something in almost every major city, if not one or two things in every major city. So those people are there waiting to have a conversation with people like Daniel, a conversation that could lead to all sorts of things. You know, the power of a testimony is amazing. It says in Revelations that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And people find freedom every day simply because someone cared enough to share their own story. And so that's what Exodus is all about. We're here to point people to the truth.
Let's take some more phone calls.
Yes. Let's go to Alan in Tennessee. Alan, you're on Point of View.
Well, thanks. I wanted to tell Alan Chambers I like his first name. You've had a very good program so forth. Real briefly, I had two questions. A number of years ago, there was an ad in our local paper, which is the first one I've ever seen like it, where a local gay group wanted to have a public forum on marriage, and they issued about 300 or 400 invitations to all pastors of all faiths here in our city, and probably about 99% of the people did not show. But I went to it as a representative of our Christian Life Committee for our church association, and I learned two things that they have. First is where they have a pro-gay theology that is a very, obviously very different interpretation of what the biblical definition and view of what God says about homosexuality is. And I'd appreciate it if he would address that. And number two, they were very adamant about where they stood on the gay marriage issue, and there was a lot of resentment toward your local church that preaches the Bible as it should be preached. They had a lot of resentment to those churches for not wanting to accept them with their view, with the gay church's view of homosexuality, because they wanted to be included with the other churches, and they were not, and there was a good bit of anger and hostility about that. And I had heard of the word pro-gay theology before I went to this meeting, but it was really, I guess you call it educational or interesting to see how different or how radically different their view of biblical interpretation of homosexuality was.
Yes.
And their resentment, again, of the general church community for not wanting to accept them. And I appreciate if Alan would address that.
You know, there is a revisionist theology out there, and, you know, oftentimes we see any number of arguments coming out of the pro-gay churches or those who are trying to push an agenda, really, on America in regards to changing their theology or explaining away what the Bible does say about the issue of homosexuality, anywhere from the stories of Ruth and Naomi to Jonathan and David, mm-hmm. trying to say, hey, these were people who were involved in homosexuality. This was celebrated in the Bible, and the scriptures that are written on the issue of homosexuality are about as relevant today as the ones that say that we shouldn't eat shellfish,
yeah.
or you name it. And those things, I'm not a theologian. I'm not Joe Dallas when it comes to the issue of pro-gay theology. But what I know is there's a crossover in the issue of homosexuality. It's mentioned both in the Old Testament, in the law. It's mentioned in the New Testament. And it's the same prohibition. It's the same truth. God didn't create us to live in this way. And whether or not those people were gay, which there's no evidence in Scripture that they were, there's no condoning of that sin anywhere. And it simply says over and over and over again, this is something that God doesn't sign off on. This is not something that he endorses. It's a sin like every other sin, and we shouldn't be involved in it. And there's so many churches out there that are caving in because they don't understand Scripture the way that they should. Christians who don't understand Scripture the way that they should. And they're really allowing someone else to determine what they believe, kind of like the media. We're allowing the media today to determine what we believe, and we've got to dig in and find out the truth for ourselves.
We did mention Joe Dallas's book that's coming out, The Gay Gospel. We also had, as you know, Carmen, an article that was one that I wrote, which was based upon my book, Christian Ethics in Plain Language, on just an answer to some of the gay theology. It was
yes.
in our Outlook, and some of that material's in RAM. So we have lots of resources if you want to read them. But let's take a break. We'll come back and take some more phone calls right after this.
You are listening to Point of View. For materials offered during the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas 75221, zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. Point of View will continue after this.
If you have an idea and need help protecting, marketing, and getting that idea to industry, call Synergy Consultants. We will give you a free invention kit that will help you understand how to protect and commercialize your idea so you can profit from it. Call for your free inventor's kit today, 800-557-5555. The inventor's kit is free and there is no obligation. 800-557-5555. Call now, 800-557-5555.
Not available in all states.
You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. And now, here again is Kirby Anderson.
Final half hour today as we talk with Alan Chambers about his book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. Carmen Pate with me as well. And Carmen, lots of phone calls out there today.
Yes, there certainly are. Let's go to Melissa, who's been waiting for some time. Melissa, you're on Point of View.
Hi,
thank you for taking my call. Before sharing my comment, I want to quickly say that I will be praying for Daniel.
Yes.
And that I want him to know that God is real, that he's alive, and that he hears our prayers. I know he's heard mine with things that I've struggled with. I'm just not the same person I used to be, and I never expected that I'd be where I am now, but I am. And I lived in Boston for a number of years, an area that's obviously known for a homosexual population, and something that he said reminded me of a common theme in their gay churches, which is that the most important thing is to love Jesus and to share love. But Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And God commanded in Leviticus 18:22 that a man can't lie with a man as he does with a woman. And that's just the way it is. You know, and we express our love to God by saying, I'm going to surrender what I would do, Father. But early in the program, you were debating whether it's fair to suggest that genetic makeup or environmental influences or choice causes people to act homosexually. And I think that the Bible makes it clear that God condemns bad choices, better known as sin. He doesn't condemn you for what you're hardwired to do or how you were raised. For instance, when Jesus intervened on behalf of the woman who was caught in the adulterous act, he didn't say, well, I know that your husband mistreated you and that you had an absentee father and these environmental influences led you to make this terrible decision. He simply said, go and sin no more, because she had acted on a bad choice. She acted on the temptation. And also, when you look at 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, it says that fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, and so forth, won't enter into the kingdom. These are all people who act on a choice, whether it's to murder a person or to drink too much. But just the same, I know that as a Christian, that God says in Ezekiel 33:11, he takes no pleasure in the death of a wicked man. I have a responsibility to get out there and not to walk the other way when a homosexual comes my way, but to warn them and say, you know, I know that this is a lifestyle that you're engaging in, and oftentimes they don't enjoy the, according to testimonies I've heard, enjoy the lifestyle, but to let them know that there is another way, that there is another way to deal with whatever it is that is making them act on homosexual temptations.
Very well said. Boy, she had a lot there to say. Thank you, Melissa. Alan?
Well, I agree. You know, I don't know what to say to that. She had a story in and of herself, and I think maybe you need to get on the radio or get out there and share your story in your church and help others understand this very complex issue. I think what you said was great.
Let's take another call.
Let's go to Gloria in Texas. Gloria, you're on Point of View.
Hello. I was listening to that young man a while ago, and I do want you to know something. My son was gay, and I had a lot of difficulties with him particularly as he got older. I was in denial a long time, but eventually, I mean, he had a lover that he lived with for 14 years, and Gary loved me, and I loved him too, and Gary committed suicide. One of the things that you have to realize is that the gay people become very dramatic, and suicide is the only way they look at it. I was living there when Gary did that, and I loved Gary very much, and then he got another one later on. But my son had gotten AIDS, and somewhere along, Gary had never run around on him, but my son did. But my son treated him like dirt most of the time. And I don't, you know, I can understand why he did. My son, gays can be like my son, very, very, very rough on those who care. And he died of AIDS in 1994.
Wow.
And he was 50 years old. And another thing about gays is that they're very compulsive. They have an addictive personality. He was an alcoholic. They don't like themselves. And I think towards the last, my son was hoping to hasten. He was his end, you know. But he was living with this other man, and this man didn't like me one bit. And I had moved over there to California to be with my son and Gary, and never dreaming that Gary would do what he did. And so when this man came, he was of a different nationality. And he thought my son had money, which he did, and so did Gary. They're very, very professional people. Mm. They usually are doctors or they'll be dentists or, you know, something like that.
Sure. Let me jump in for just a minute because I was just thinking that it would be good for Alan to maybe just moderate a few of the kind of the broad statements that were made there, especially about the homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah. You know, I think that some of the things that Gloria is talking about are true. You know, there is a compulsive component to those who struggle with all sorts of addictive behaviors, homosexuality being one of them. You know, it's very common, and we hear it all the time. In fact, I was speaking with someone just yesterday who, you know, had been involved in alcoholism. And, you know, I think that some of those things do go hand in hand. We try to numb our pain.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know about homosexuality is it's one of those medications that we try to use to numb our pain. It's something that does make us feel better for a period of time, but we end up needing more and more of it. And one of the things that Gloria said that I thought was great, and I think this is important for all parents, that she was friends with her son's lover. And so often there's an opportunity for parents to stay involved in the lives of their kids, even when they have partners. And there are times that we've heard numerous times when the partner, because of the love of a parent, comes to know Christ, and that impacts their son or daughter. And so I would encourage people to be like Gloria, to be in relationship with their kids, even if they do have partners. Certainly have boundaries, or like the caller earlier with her daughter, have boundaries on your relationship, but by all means, stay in relationship. Love your kids. Love the people that they're in relationship with, because it may make an eternal difference in their life.
Let's talk about the issue of acceptance for just a minute, because I remember in your testimony you talked about having experimented, but then you had a feeling of acceptance when someone brought you to a gay bar, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I can just sort of be myself here. And even though you were really seeking a relationship, not the sexual encounter, just the sort of, you know, I found a warm, accepting place. And sadly, you found it in a bar, not in a church.
You know, and that's often the case. The reason there's such a large gay community in our world, the reason that it's so successful and has so many churches and people who are joining it really all the time, is because it's a great counterfeit. And oftentimes when something is counterfeit and it's really good, like money, it spins for a long, long time. And it goes undetected for a long time. That's where the real thing comes in. We've got to make sure that the church, which is the real thing, the real community, is as good as its counterfeit.
And that's what your book talks about, Carmen.
Yes, well said. Well said. Let's go to Benjamin in Nevada. Benjamin, you're on Point of View.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
You know, I just got a comment, you know, and sometimes we have to just stick to the scripture and be steadfast on God's word. You know, God's word is uncompromising, and it's straightforward. Sometimes it cuts. You know, and sin is sin is sin. There's no one sin bigger than the other sin. And, you know, you have to truly want to be delivered from something before God can move in your life. You know, it's easy to say, well, I give it to God, but then still walk in the thing that's hindering me from having a relationship with Him. You know, God won't, you know, He can't work in you if you don't truly desire, you know, to walk away from that sin. You know, and homosexuality is wrong. No matter how you cut it, it's wrong. It is anti-creation. And so that has to make it, you know, anti-Christ. So God is the God of creation. And so why would God create man to be with man when He can't recreate? You know, and now, you know, this whole world is trying to force homosexuality on us. And it's wrong, period. Now, if you truly desire to be delivered from that thing, then God will truly help you and give you the strength and give you the power to do it, because you know His grace. You know His word says His strength is made strong in our weakness. You know, and just like me, you know, no one addiction is bigger than the other. I mean, you have people addicted to drugs, you know, addicted to sex. You know, me personally, I'll be very transparent with you. I took drugs before I gave my life to Christ. In 2001, I used to be a pimp. You know, and I never thought you can get a bigger high than have a woman go out and sell her body, you know, for money. And it took God to deliver me from that. When I truly decided I need to be delivered from that thing, you know, I had to really want it.
Yeah, I think that's an incredible testimony, and it just gets back to the first myth on the book, that homosexuality is not the worst of all sins, that all have sinned and fall short of the grace of God.
That's absolutely true. And one of the things that Benjamin said early on in his comment was, I think he said that deliverance is a choice. And that's true. Deliverance is a process. It's a daily choice. And every single day we choose to pick up our cross, deny what comes naturally, and follow Him.
We'll come back with some more phone calls right after this.
Back to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Carmen Pate, I'm Kirby Anderson, talking with Alan Chambers for a few more minutes about his book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. Lots of phone calls. We apologize in advance that we won't be able to get to all those phone calls, but please visit our website, pointofview.net. You'll find some great material there, and if you want to correspond with Alan Chambers or the other people at Exodus International, you can certainly do so by going to pointofview.net and clicking through to some of that information. Carmen?
You know, Alan, one of the best examples of God's love in the world today are Christians. And one of the worst example of God's love in the world today are Christians. And it just seems so true. And sometimes there are those you wish they would just stay home and not say anything. but we all probably find ourselves in that category sometimes. Certainly, there are things that people who have good intentions, who want to share Christ with those who need Him, oftentimes say the wrong things at the wrong time in the wrong way. And you have a chapter in your book, which I think is so important for us to touch on before we let you go today. And that's the chapter called Turn or Burn, Five Things Not to Do. Could you just briefly summarize, if you will, some of the important points from that chapter?
Sure. I think the first one is that cliche that we started with, turn or burn. Don't reduce people to a cliche. You know, we like to say turn or burn, get right or get left, nail it at the cross or lay it at the altar, read your Bible more, just pray more. If I've heard one of those once, I've heard them a billion times. And, you know, I think there's truth in some of those cliches, but we as the church try to pass those off and we forego our responsibility in the healing process of someone else. We're in relationship with people in the body of Christ. And if they're struggling, we need to walk through those issues with them. We don't need to be pointing the finger at them, but walking alongside them along their journey. And if those cliches have meaning to you, well, by all means, use them. But far more often than not, they're used just to silence someone or to turn them away and to forego your responsibility in walking, healing out with them. Another one is, I think we talked about this earlier in the show, don't assume that someone who's struggling with homosexuality or who is homosexual knows that they're in sin. Not everyone has the same biblical worldview as we do, and we might have to sidestep the issue of homosexuality and get to the heart of the matter, which is their relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, another thing that we as Christians are very guilty of is manipulating people with Scripture or bullying them into a relationship with Christ or into realizing that they're involved in homosexuality. I think someone earlier in the show was talking about someone trying to convince them that they were born this way and them trying to convince them that they weren't born that way. I think you can skip the argument altogether. It doesn't matter whether we are born into a certain condition or not. The fact is that people can find freedom from homosexuality, and that should be the emphasis, not whether or not or how you got there or how you didn't get there. And then another couple of things is don't walk on eggshells. Be truthful. You know, we don't need to sidestep the truth for grace's sake. We need to be balanced as Christ was balanced, 100% truth, 100% grace. Don't walk on eggshells. Be bold. The church was called to be prophetic, and we need to regain our credibility in that area and regain our role as a prophetic church. And the last thing is, again, don't forget your need for a Savior. Right. Where were you the second before Christ came into your life? That's where they are. And the most important thing is that they come into that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Lots of great material in the book, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. Alan Chambers and, of course, the leadership team of Exodus International contributed to some really good chapters in this book.
Should we go back to the phone lines?
Let's do.
Let's try to get a couple more. Let's go to John in New Mexico. Hey, John, you're on Point of View.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a pastor here in Farmington, New Mexico. And through the years, I have dealt with a lot of addictions and helped people get through those things. And homosexuality is one of them. And it's been my experience that people who have addictions, whether it be homosexuality or pornography, adultery, fornication, whatever, that it's like a monster inside of us, and the more we feed it, the stronger it becomes. And that through the years, as we've dealt with counseling and found out many times the things that were the deep-rooted problems that initially began the indulgence, and we were able to talk with them about those things and counsel those things, that we were able to help them to find freedom. And now some of those people who we dealt with that were involved in homosexuality are now married and have children, and their lives have become, they're very fulfilled and satisfied. And what they had thought was an impossible thing, God was able to set them free and give them real fulfillment and meaning in life.
Wow, that's encouraging. Alan?
That's my story. You know, what I thought was not possible, God made possible for me. And, you know, an interesting point that John made was that the more we feed something, the stronger it becomes. And just the reverse of that is what kills sin. The more we starve it, it's going to die. And that's really what I did in my life, what so many others who have dealt with this issue have done in their own life, is they have starved something that was had an angry appetite. And when you starve it, it dies.
John, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your work in the ministry.
Thank you very much.
While we are talking about pastors for just a minute, I know that there are a fair number of pastors listen to this broadcast. I know there are seminary students that do as well. What would you say to people in leadership who are either in leadership in churches or will go into leadership in churches? How can they use this book and some of the other resources you have at Exodus International to make the church what you want it to be, that which would be one that certainly holds true to biblical convictions, but also reaches out with biblical compassion?
Like I said, we are getting the majority of our information these days from the media, from the news we watch every night, or MTV, or the magazines that we read. And the thing that churches need to do is they need to get these resources. They need to talk about the issues that are prevalent in our society and relevant to our society, especially with kids. We've got to be talking about sex and sexuality in a way that's understandable and relevant to them, because they're hearing and getting their understanding about these things from like MTV. And so, but not just about the issue of homosexuality. They need to talk about sexuality in general and bring it all into a way that's relatable and understandable to those who are sitting in the congregation. We've got to have better answers than what kids and other people are finding outside of the church.
Structurally, could you have like a recovery or reentry type of group where there would be a safe place for people who are dealing with all sorts of sexual sins? I mean, it might be pornography, it might be sexual addiction, it might be homosexuality. That's really what you're talking about as a possibility within the church, right?
I think it's great to have those groups within the church, and that's the way Exodus has functioned for so many years, is to have groups, whether they're inside or outside of the church. But even more than that these days, we're encouraging churches to talk about this from the pulpit, to welcome people into their congregations, to talk about it in their Sunday school classes, in their life groups, and you name it, anywhere that there's something going on in the church, make sure that that's a place where people can find help too. We don't just need to send them to the back 40 of the church anymore. We need to incorporate them into the body.
Carmen, that's why we wanted to do this interview. The book is outstanding. God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door comes from an organization that we talk about so frequently, and that is Exodus International. And it's just been great to have Alan Chambers in the studio today.
Thanks.
Oh, yes, Alan, thank you so much. I encourage every pastor, every youth leader to get a copy of this, as well as every family, because as you say on the title, it's could be the homosexual next door, and we certainly need to be sharing God's grace with all of those around us.
So again, if people want to get to your website, how can they do so?
Exodus.to or ExodusNorthAmerica.com, and if you're looking for youth-specific, ExodusYouth.net.
If you have any trouble remembering that, simply go to our website, pointofview.net. We have posted quite a number of articles by Alan Chambers and his staff that are under today's topics. We also, under the guest spotlight, have information about Alan Chambers, about this book. If you'd like to order the book, you can click on that icon for the book, or if you'd like to find out a little bit more about what they make available, we would encourage you to do so. And Carmen, we also encourage encourage people as they go to the website to consider how they might partner with us through Frontline Alliance.
Oh, definitely so. We are your listener-supported source for truth. We do what we do because of you and your family. We care about you. We care about future generations. We want to make sure that truth continues to be sent out over the airways on these issues that are important to you. But we can only do so if you partner with us. Call 1-800-347-5151 or go to our website at pointofview.net and click on Frontline Alliance.
Anything you can do to help us, we would greatly appreciate it. As Carmen said, we're a listener-supported program, so we hope that you will consider what you might do to help us to bring this broadcast to you every single day. I want to thank Ron and Adele for their help. We'll be back here tomorrow. See you then.
You have been listening to Point of View. For materials offered on the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151.
Point of View is produced by the National Center for Freedom and Renewal and is supported by your tax-deductible contributions.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
By now, you've probably heard about how fast and easy it is to save a lot of money each month simply by refinancing your federal student loans with College Loan Corporation. And so far, the response has been amazing. More than 600,000 of you have already called. With College Loan Corporation's 24/7 personalized service, all of your questions will be answered with just one call. You'll be on your way to cutting your monthly payments by up to 45%, and you can earn up to $2,000 cash back. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE today. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.